But we are blessed when we follow his directions and follow the vision that we're given. The world is opposed to much of what God is doing, and therefore will be opposed to vision. Most of the prophets suffered because they spoke the visions of God. Jesus was the ultimate in knowing and living out what God wanted to do in this world. During this, it's interesting this, you know, in his last prayer in Luke 17, Jesus begins by thanking God that he has been able to stay on course with God. And these are his words, in, again, I think it's in the Message version. I completed down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. If we take just one example of visionaries, which most of us have seen in our time, I think, would be, say, Martin Luther King. He was expressing God's will and purpose for colored people, for their freedom. If you take Wilberforce on slavery, or so many people who have been great visionaries for the will of God. We have to face the fact that the way in which God achieves his plans is very different from the way that man looks at things. And even if we think about Christmas, the coming of God's Son into the world, and the Word became flesh, if we can possibly think just for a minute how the Jews saw that and how repulsive it was to them, and yet God chose to do it that way. Why was it repulsive to them? Because in their way of life, the Jews still do, the Orthodox Jews, keep a safe distance from anything that's profane. That which is holy cannot be near anything that is unholy. And part of the purpose of the temple, which was to them, remember, God's dwelling place, was to separate the holy from the unholy. Through, they had a series of walls and exclusion zones. So for them, imagining or reimagining God, whose presence was in the Holy of Holies in the temple, and trying to imagine him as a little baby on earth, held in the arms of a woman, cradled in a manger, and in the mess of a stable, that was a deep shock to them. It was something they just couldn't get their head around. And we've got to face the fact that even we as Christians find it difficult to get our head around some of the truth of God and the way that he shows himself. Seeing God incarnate today through those who can spiritually see, those who are visionaries, we are seeing what God is like and what he is saying today. And yet it can be totally offensive if we haven't got the spiritual insight. We've all seen the effects of the tussle that's gone on in sections of the church concerning the place of women, which you know, particularly as ministers, priests, and bishops. I mean, to those who can see spiritually, they see the work of the Holy Spirit in a woman who is preaching or who is a minister. But there are those who can't see it and won't accept it. Now, if the Holy Spirit is at work, who am I to argue that a woman should not be used by the Holy Spirit? Of course, men have to be living by the Holy Spirit as well. It's not just women who... You may have a male minister who is not fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's an interesting passage in 1 Corinthians, again in the Message translation, which it brings out the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. It's in 1 Corinthians 1. It says, the message which points to Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on the path to destruction. But for those on the way of salvation, it makes sense. This is the way God works, and most powerfully, as it turns out, because as it is written, God says, I will turn, and this is what he did say, I will turn conventional wisdom on its head. I'll expose the so-called crackpots. Hasn't God exposed in this day and age those who think they are truly wise and exposed it as pretentious nonsense? God, in his wisdom, has chosen preaching to bring those who trust him into the way of salvation. That was how Paul put it. Now, looking at it from a human point of view, God is a risk taker. Think of his risks in coming to earth as a baby. The passage I've just read shows the risk of putting the future of the kingdom into the lips and hands of simple souls. But of course, what he uses in the person is his spiritual power, which we call light and truth, and the power of the Holy Spirit, which is something it will never, ever be extinguished. We always have to be ready to see, not in our way of thinking, but ways in which God is bringing the world to himself. To us, initially, it might seem like nonsense. There are two issues here, perhaps, for it to ponder. The first is our own visionary understanding of what God is doing among us as a church. And, of course, the vision of those who lead. Those who lead are not in vision with God. And the sad truth is that people get led away from God instead of towards him. You have to look for the signs and notice how God is working. And I wonder what signs God might be showing you. When we think of his signs, it's sometimes local, sometimes it can be specific to this fellowship or even to a person. What are the signs about the fellowship on our journey of faith? on the ways in which God is leading through various initiatives. And one of the big initiatives that's been apparent over the last 12 months is that increasing awareness that we must be disciples 24/7, all day, every day. And that includes the workplace and other places where we spend our time. Through last year, we were led to ensure that the teaching and preaching led us to a deeper understanding through the whole word of what our response should be. And I've written a little bit about this in the church news which came out last week. As far as the home study groups were concerned, there was a big move on for many people, especially in the freedom of discussion and openness to what God was saying. And we saw, I could see spiritually, a lot of light coming into, if, what shall we say, lack of understanding or areas of darkness in people's lives. It's not easy as a leader when you have a group who they really want to talk and share. I had to have strict discipline in my group because one of the sad things is I can't hear two. If two people are talking at once, I can't hear either of them. And when six come in all at one time, it gets a bit difficult. But they were very helpful, they were very kind to me. But it isn't easy as a leader. Obviously, when people speak, they may be speaking on impulse, and not always is it on the track that God wants to be going down. So let's think how God actually leads the hearts of people when they're set upon him. Sometimes an obvious sign of what he wants to do. But there's also an intuitive understanding. The best way I can explain is this. I think an intuitive understanding is that you know because you know because you know, and you have a deep peace within yourself that that is what God is saying and wanting to do. This often comes out in ministry with people. Sometimes he gives us little clues or gives us a question to ask. Could it be possible that this happened in your life in your early days or something like that? We have to be obedient to where he is leading us and what he is saying. Sometimes we see his will being played out on the national or the international stage. You might have wondered what is really going on in the issue with the protesters at St. Paul's Cathedral. And I wonder if you can see how God is going to use that possibly for what he wants to do. Let's think about it for a minute. If we take just a brief look at it, you've got the campaigners who are intense and have been there now for, I think it's about a month. And they're in protest at the unfairness and the dominating influence of capitalism. It's right next door to the Stock Exchange, actually. You've got the Stock Exchange there, and St. Paul's is there. And they're on the pavement between And the pavement between most of it belongs to St. Paul's. It's not public land. It's what was the old churchyard. The interesting thing is, you see, that St. Paul's Cathedral is itself one of the most influential financial bodies in London. Many of its trustees are important bankers and so on. The question that's arising is St. Paul's dependent on the security of money, or are they dependent on the Holy Spirit as a church? Three of its clergy have resigned because of the way the situation has been handled on an issue of conscience. The dean has resigned, and the canon chancellor, Giles Fraser, has resigned. It was felt that the cathedral had to be closed for 1 week, and they soon got fed up of that because they were losing £20,000 a day through their commercial activities. And when you go into St. Paul's, you don't pay a donation. It costs you £14.50 per person, and everybody has to pay. And they can have thousands of visitors in a day. And they were losing money fast. The High Court this week will be looking as to whether the protesters are to be moved on. The important issue is not what the law decides to be. It's how God is going to use the situation. It was thought that the numbers attending for Christmas would be down, but in fact they increased dramatically, and many of the people who came said they were openly on the side of what was happening, which was seeing the church in a sense really having to get down on its knees and saying, where are we in all this? So many people flocked in, and they applauded the stance that these particular clergy have taken. And what's happening in Norway? You remember the tragic circumstances of the bomb and the young people who were shot down. And the Bible has become the best-selling book in Norway. They're finding it difficult to produce them fast enough. In Norway, which never was, for many years, what you might call a very spiritually vibrant sort of country. And how is God using the situation there? The issue for us is hearing what God is saying in the culture of today, which changes. But the God and his truth never change. And it is his reality in the world today as it is. And it's absolutely crucial that we know his voice and we know his will. Next week, we go back to the book of James, and we'll see how not only money, but planning ahead and saying this is what we're going to do, even that can be a blockage to what God really wants to be doing. It's a matter of discerning where he is leading or what he is saying through the circumstances. So we aren't to be too set on the way we do things or what we are doing. Of course, one of the main tests for us in seeing if a decision is in the will of God is to test it by the word. Because if there's anything that we are doing which is not in line with the word, then we shouldn't be doing it, full stop. It can... The problem is, as a visionary and as a leader, I can never say to you, you must do this. I can never take control of you, because controlling influences of that kind don't exist or shouldn't exist in the church, because you come to faith by your free will. And not by, okay, I can preach the word, I can offer its truth to you, but you have a choice. You either go God's way or not. And looking back, you know, over the years here, I've always, or most of the time, I've had a vision for what the church should be within the times we were set, because times and culture have changed dramatically during the short time I've been here. We went through a period in the 70s and 80s of looking at what God was doing and how he was breaking out in other fellowships, just to kind of get the idea across that we had to look for him and what he was doing and where he was breaking through barriers of very hard set customs and attitudes. And over the years we've seen how the vision and awareness of what God was doing changed as the culture changed in the ways of presenting the gospel. You're not changing it, it is the truth, but it is the way in which it is presented. And we can't... What was manna yesterday, God's power at work, is not necessarily the same today. The Holy Spirit is the power that lies behind the word. Power that came when the church was brought into birth into being. When Peter preached his first sermon and the Holy Spirit went and it was there. And that the same power is for today. Jesus has said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that was telling us that the gates of hell are going to try and prevail against it, and they do it in very, I might say, in very subtle ways at times. And a leader's concern is to discern this and stand against that which would prevent God's will taking place. Sometimes we know God's will. It's not just a matter of knowing it, it's a matter of knowing his timing. Because he wants to do something, but sometimes the time is not yet. And it's a matter of waiting for the green light, which can be shown to us in a number of ways. Very important in all this, of course, is prayer. Because prayer and the will of God go hand in hand. Jesus showed this because he constantly drew himself aside so that he could wait on God. And Jesus and the whole Bible makes it clear that prayer and warfare against that which is not of God must be very active if the church is to progress. Our prayer time is a precious time. We meet on Tuesday night. Numbers are increasing, but they're not what they should be, because I would invite you to make it a priority time, because it's in the prayer time that a lot of where we feel God is leading us is tested out, and he shows us things. This particular Tuesday, it so happens we're not meeting, we're going over to Tilsley for the Baptist Network. Again, it will be a prayer time, but not here. It's interesting how people's perception of prayer. But we have to face the fact that Satan doesn't want you here. And as he puts some kind of self-deception or something into your mind which keeps you away, and nobody is forced to pray aloud, there's always opportunity given, and there's teaching goes along with it. But nobody is sort of looked down upon if they don't pray aloud. And you can always pray along with what is going on. There may be various reasons why a person doesn't pray. So please think about it. So being led by God's will and purposes is crucial to every church. One of the biggest mistakes that many churches made and tried to make here in the past is the church is getting bottoms on seats. It isn't. We could do all sorts of attractive things that would bring people in. Church is being church. It is being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world today. I'm wondering if, from what I've said this morning, do feel free to chat about this at any time in groups or come to me. If anyone has a question this morning, or is there anything, anyway, comment that anybody wants to make on what I've been saying, then we may spend a moment just to do that. I know there's quite a number of people who will recognise very clearly how they've moved on during last year. Let's make it a much greater number this year. That's the vision, if you like. I don't know whether anybody wants to say. There's just one other thing I want to say to you. You might think, I can't see Dr. Bishop. I can't see what he's doing. It's difficult to see it just by coming on a Sunday, because his Holy Spirit is at work 7 days a week. Okay. And to get at the picture of how he is moving and what he wants to do, you've got to kind of be seeing what's happening every day of the week. Yes, It would be nice to see many of the people who were there during the week in on Sunday. But he is working with people Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Well, I'm not sure about Weight Watchers on Monday, but perhaps they really need God in the situation. There we are. Don't hesitate to have a chat with me. There's a picture there of St. Paul's and the protesters. What would Jesus do? It's a question that you might be faced with in the countless choices you have to make day by day. And we're here to help, for you to be part of God's vision in the world today and what he wants to be doing. Let's have a moment of quietness.